I'd like to welcome you to our service. If you would, please find your place in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 1. The title of the message is The Weights of Life. I'm going to tell you, there's weights in this life. We all start off pretty much with not much weights. Now, some people are born with physical problems. Now, we all have the weight of sin. We're all sinners. We're born a sinner. We don't become a sinner. We are sinners. And we all have weights. But throughout life, there's some weights that can be added to our life. And some weights are just natural weights and weights that come as a result of growing up. But then there's also other weights that can hold us back. And the Lord doesn't want us to be held back. And the Bible says to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And those cares of life, those weights of life, can sometimes be overwhelming. So how do you get rid of those weights? What do you do with those weights? And we've got a great Heavenly Father that wants to help us. He's given us a church that will help you carry your burdens. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. From the time a child is able to understand things, they immediately start taking on weights of life." One of my daughters, when she was very young, and maybe 2 or 3 years old, and one of her brothers was going through some great physical problems and things that was happening there for him. But she understood that there was a change in the house. She understood that there was difficulty in the house, and it bothered her. And she used to be blonde, and she literally lost her hair because of the stress that she saw, that this, her feelings of empathy, if you would, or sympathy. And she wanted to, you know, she was affected by what was going on in the house, and the sadness, the difficulties of sickness and things like that. And she lost her hair, and she went from being blonde to having brown hair. And it's possible for anybody to go through life and to experience great weights of this life. But you know what? All of us are going to be affected by something. I mean, you could be born with a golden spoon in your mouth, but it don't mean you're not going to have weights in this life and things that'll hinder you and hold you down and keep you from doing what God wants you to do and with your life. And Job 14:1 said that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, from a child to a senior citizen, we're all going to take on weights. The cares of life can become a weight. The responsibilities of life can become weights. The entertainment, the seeking of entertainment and pleasures of life can become a weight. Troubles of life can become a weight in your life. Sickness of life can become a weight. The sadness of life will become a weight to you. The trials, the tribulations of life can become a weight. The disappointments, the discouragements of life can become a weight in you. The unfulfillment of goals can become a weight. Things didn't just turn out the way you thought they would. And all of a sudden, that can become a weight in your life. The sin, how about that? The sin in one's life. Boy, I'm telling you, that and the consequences of sin can become a weight in someone's life. How about the sins of others? A spouse, a child, a grandchild. The fact that they're not living for the Lord. That can become a weight in your life. How about the sin of others towards you? I mean, we've all been affected by sin, and not just us sinning for ourselves or sinning against others, but others have sinned against us. What are you going to do with that weight in your life? Because all these weights can affect you. The failures of life. Well, I'm going to tell you, that can become a weight too. Your previous life, before you got saved. I'm going to tell you what, in all that took place there, we don't have a forget button. Well, thank God that one day there will be no more sin. There'll be no more remembrance of sin, and thank God for that. But our previous life, prior to being saved, can become a weight. Death, or the thought of death, can become a weight. And I could go on and on and on. And God does not say that we'll never have any weights in our life. Nowhere is that promised. But He tells us what we can do with our weights. And even if you're saved, God is not going to spare you from weights. In 2 Timothy 3:12 it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't like weights. We don't like them. Why? Because a weight will hinder you. A weight will burden you. A weight will feel like it's holding you back. A weight will cause you to doubt. A weight will slow you down. A weight will keep you from moving forward and may even cause you to fall backwards. But God has never promised a Christian a carefree life or a life of ease. But God does give us ways to limit the weights in our life. In verse 1 it says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I've heard people say, "I just can't get over this, and I can't get over that, and there's this thing in my life. Maybe it's a person, or it's a sickness, a sadness, or some reversal of fortune, or whatever. Maybe there's just something that's happened in your life, and I've heard people say, "I just can't get over this or that." And it's become a source of despair for them. And they just don't seem like they can get past that weight that's been put in their life. But you see, chapter 12 is a continuation of chapter 11. Verse 1 starts with "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses." That word "compass" means surrounded. We're surrounded by witnesses. I'm telling you, the day we're living in, I mean, there's a camera everywhere. There's a cell phone everywhere. I'm telling you, you get picked up and you're just walking by and there you'll be. You're on somebody's reel. You know, you're on somebody's post and you didn't even ask. You know, you've heard of people photobombing, right? You know, they'll walk through and see somebody taking a picture, and on purpose they'll go by and make a funny face or something like that. We're surrounded, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And the witnesses mentioned here are those who have gone before us. They're not onlookers. They're worshiping the Lord. They're singing praises unto the Lord. They're thanking Jesus for their great salvation. I mean, a great voice is saying, "Salvation, hallelujah for the salvation that we have in Jesus." But they're not onlookers like many people like to think. But they're witnesses, the Bible says. That means they've got a testimony. They've witnessed things. They have a testimony. And in a trial situation, the defense or the prosecution will bring in witnesses to the stand. They're going to testify as to what they saw or heard. And some are even called expert witnesses. And they have a detailed knowledge of a certain thing. The Bible says that everyone in this previous chapter, chapter 12, there in chapter 11, they too had to deal with weights in their life. They too had hardships and disappointments and struggles and sadness and sickness and trials and great afflictions and troubles and even had to overcome the effects of sin in their life. But they finished their course. They kept the faith. They accomplished great things for God. Oh, if you look back in chapter 11 with me, it starts at the beginning with Abel. Oh, I mean, think about Abel. His brother hated him. His brother killed him for his beliefs. Oh, but yet he still speaks. He's got a testimony. I'm telling you, he's got a testimony that he knew the Lord. Enoch, he walked with God. Nobody else was walking with God. It was just him. He walked with God. And you know what? He went through great times of great trouble there as well. And Noah lived in a wicked day where everyone's thoughts were evil continually. And I mean, that nobody wanted to listen to his message. Nobody wanted to listen to his preaching. But thank God, 8 were saved alive. Abraham. Oh, Abraham's mentioned in chapter 11. He had struggles. He had family problems. He had to deal with his own sins and own lack of belief at times. Isaac had messed up with his family. Nothing but lies, deceit, dysfunctional. But he was still used of God. Jacob blessed Joseph and worshiped God until his death. But the story of Jacob, if you read through his story there, his kids gave him much grief. Joseph was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied about, thrown in prison, forgotten. But he just kept serving God. He just kept trusting God, and God brought him out of the pit, and God brought him out of prison and put him in the palace, and God used him to save many people alive. Joseph did not have an easy life, but he still lived for God, and God used him in a mighty way. Well, you go on through chapter 11, you go into Moses' parents. Oh, they went against the commandment of the king. And they hid Moses. And they said, if he perishes, we perish. Oh, my God has given us this child. And it's our duty to keep him alive. And to give him an opportunity to live for God and serve God. But yet, I'm telling you, they lived in great times of affliction. They were slaves there in the land of Egypt. And but yet, they still chose to serve God. They had great weights they had to carry. But they trusted him. Moses, the Bible says, chose the affliction of the people of God instead of pursuing a life of vanity down in Egypt. Moses put up with rebellious people for 40 years, but yet he still interceded for them. Well, look at chapter 11 and verse 31. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched not the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies, the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And listen to this, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. You see, not everything's a bed of roses, is it? They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, what reading through these verses, all these people were just like you and I. They had weights in their life. They had setbacks in their life. They had troubles in their life. Many of them had past failures they had to overcome. But they overcame those weights, and they were used of God in a great way. And if those witnesses could do it, so can you and I. God says if you and I are going to run our race and do all that God has for us to do, that we're going to have to lay aside those weights. And not just the weights, but the Bible goes on here in Hebrews says, but the sin that so easily besets us. That word beset means to surround, to enclose, to hem in, to besiege. As we are beset with enemies, a city is beset with troops. Our English dictionary tells us that word beset means to press on all sides so as to perplex us, to entangle us, so as to render escape very difficult. You know, drugs and alcohol and smoking and vaping and lying and stealing and cheating and disobeying, dirty thoughts, oh, the music of this world that you listen to, can I tell you what it'll do? It'll bind you into a spirit of rebellion. Because all it wants you to do is to give in to the moment. Feel the beat. Do what comes natural to your flesh. Music has such a powerful influence. That's why all this contemporary, worldly, so-called Christian music is so dreamy and so sensual. It makes you just want to close your eyes and start swaying and bring out your cell phone, cut your flashlight on and wave it around. Can I just say, oh, that's fleshly, that's not spiritual. So how do you lay all these weights aside? How do you lay that sin aside? If it's a weight of this life, then you look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus in verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Maybe you've got some sin in your life that's besetting you. You just keep going back to it. It's almost you feel like you're not escaping that sin. Then you need to consider all that Jesus went through to save you from hell. You need to take a trip to Calvary and be reminded of all that God has been through and all that God wants from you. He wants to set you in a path of righteousness, not to go back to your folly. If you've got sin in your life, then 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when you get rid of that weight or sin, you'll be able to go on for God and be used of God in a great way.